promised myself I wouldn't cry.
Oh man.
Is it recording now?
Yeah, it is.
Of course it is.
Okay. Well, good evening, squirrels. We've already had a whole show before the show.
Yeah,
the pre-show. Wish you could have heard the behind the scenes of the Squirrel Report, but it is top secret.
The deep state machinations.
I did want to make one sort of announcement. Not that it has anything to do with this show. But I did finally get around to deleting the episodes of the other show and shutting that website down. So
stop! You did not, did you?
It is no more. If you didn't hear it, you ain't gonna hear it.
And there is.
I can hear people like furiously passing files around. I downloaded it. I have a copy. Do you need a copy?
Secret pirate archives out on the internet.
I really hope not. That's so sad.
they are gone.
Gone. Good. Gone. Ancient history. You know, be done with it. Yep. Move on, people.
It was there for, 7 years past?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
No, there were the, like, glory years of the gun blogs, yeah. Right? They were the glory years, and it was, like, very brief and very sweet and very fun, but move the fuck on. And, you know, let me just say this right now. Maybe y'all need to get off the internet and go outside and take a walk. Find a park, go outside, and take a walk. Find a hobby. Do that for a while. Turn off your computer.
Oh, my God.
Have a real life. You know, I love the Squirrel Port, and I'm awful thankful for everything the internet has ever done for me, but, like, on my deathbed, I will not be laying there saying to myself, wow, the best day of my life was spent online. And I think that applies to everybody.
Tiger agrees.
So, you know, yes, the cat agrees. And you know what? Get some real friends. Meet people outside of your little, like, bubble on the internet. Move on. It's okay. There's good stuff out there. I promise.
I've been outside. The refresh rate is really high, but it's kind of boring.
Yes. And that is my soapbox for the evening.
Wildly unpredictable. 0 out of 10. Would not recommend.
Yeah. No, it's good.
So.
Yes.
Changing the subject.
Okay, good.
There's a Democrat debate tonight. And I only mention this.
Is there? Oh, it's tonight.
I only mention this because it's in Houston.
Oh,
right.
Why do you not have the bed of your truck filled with rotten tomatoes, Alan?
Because they're having it is like an hour plus away, and you know
that's right. It's Houston.
It's Houston. It's 6 hours. Yeah, it ain't worth the. You know, it's not. You know, it's like. When I prepare to drive anywhere in Houston that's not like down the street, it's like I'm packing for an expedition. I take my cooler,
you take
my
snacks.
Water, and I take snacks. I absolutely do. I'm not joking, because you know when you venture out into Houston, it's like going out into the Badlands, and you have to make sure you're armed, and you have to make sure you have food and water. And stuff, because you never know what's going to happen. You don't know. You may get stuck. And this has happened to me. You may get stuck on the highway for 3 hours, not moving, because some dumbass flipped his car upside down in front of you. You know, it's just, you never know. So anyway, not worth the effort. But I just mentioned that because there's two things that are hilarious that are kind of building from this Democrat thing. First off, the Democrats are they're doing their continuous, to see, how ridiculous. I mean, it's like they're all doing like in-kind contributions to the Trump re-election campaign.
Yeah.
A bunch of Greenpeace protesters. There's a big suspension bridge that goes across the Houston Ship Channel. And these Greenpeace idiots decided to dangle themselves on ropes underneath the suspension bridge in protest of fossil fuels. So obviously they stopped traffic on the ship channel, and you know, we're talking about, they literally stopped traffic in the ship channel. I'm not talking about just traffic crossing the bridge, which was bad, but I'm talking about, you know, tankers and freighters and shit on the ship channel. And we're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a minute where these things just sitting there and not doing anything. It was, you know, so the sheriff's office had to show up, rappel off the bridge, basically manhandle the people off their rope and lower them onto a Coast Guard cutter that was sitting underneath the bridge.
They should not have used any sort of
They should have just reached over with some giant clippers and gone snick.
Yeah, bolt and cut. Well.
Snick.
I hope you can swim at all.
You know. Oh well, too bad.
Or just leave them there.
Yeah. Just leave them there dangling.
Just ignore them completely. Yeah. Ideally, you'd have a very tall ship come through, which kind of scrape them
whack,
off.
Whack, 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 whack. That'd be funny.
You know, ideally a diesel-powered something with a big smokestack. You know, roll coal right under.
Right. Oh, that'd be awesome. So the other thing that's funny is that Trump has paid for a banner to be flown around Houston with an anti-socialism message.
Nice.
I'm trying to see if I can find.
It says socialism will kill Houston's economy. Vote Trump 2020.
Yeah, that's it. So it's hilarious that it's, you know, you can't, it's, I don't know. It's like presidential troll master. I mean, he's
just, you know what? I didn't vote for him, but I would totally vote for him again just for the comedy factor.
I voted against Hillary in the last election. I'm totally voting for Trump this one because he has earned every bit of it. Every bit.
It's just so funny. And they take the bait every single time.
Yeah. They can't stop themselves. He's like Lucy. for our younger listeners out there, there was a comic strip called Peanuts drawn by Charles M. Schulz. And one of the characters was the lovable loser Charlie Brown. And he would continually try to kick a football held by Lucy. And at the last second, she would always pull it away. And he would go flying through the air and land on his back and utter some pitiful statement. That's Trump. Aww. Lucy. Yeah. Pulling the football away from the Democrats every time. And it's hysterical. It is hilarious.
I don't want to say it's like 3D chess, but because, no, it's way easier than that. I mean, baiting the liberal media is way easier than that. They just, they eat it up. I mean, what was the thing they just spent like ages and ages on? The Sharpie map. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Debating
during the hurricane. Yeah.
Whether or not he drew on a map with a Sharpie. Like, really? That's.
This was like the CNN's like leading story for days about the Sharpie.
Trump is literally Hitler. Trump is a Soviet stooge. Trump drew on a map with a Sharpie. It's absurdist, you know.
It really is.
And it was a black Sharpie, so he was racist too.
Yeah, of course. White racist, Alan. Just like the couple that was waving the Betty Ross flag.
Yeah. What? And she was Asian? No, she was Indian, right?
Well, which is Asian, but.
Yeah, but she was Indian. Like Nikki Haley, our next president.
Nikki Haley? Nikki Haley's Indian?
She. Hey!
I don't know that. Yeah.
Nikki Haley is Indian American. I think she's Sikh, actually. Nikki Haley. Am I saying the right word?
Sikh?
See? No, like Nikki Haley, right? I'm not wrong.
I think so. I think that's
how you pronounce it. All right.
Ask her to show you her knife.
Yeah, parents are Ajit Singh Randhwar and Raj Kaur Randhwar. I'm probably butchering that horribly, but
yeah.
Wow, you know, interestingly enough, I've never heard that in the news.
Really?
I have never ever once heard in the news that she is of Indian.
She's a person of color?
She's a white Indian.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah.
She's a white Indian, so she's a racist too.
Yeah. Indian American.
Yeah.
But she's light skinned, so nobody ever mentioned.
Indian American as opposed to an American Indian?
Yes, exactly. Yes. That is interesting. You know, Bobby Jindal, you can't miss that he's clearly of subcontinental origin.
He's a white Indian too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's the wrong kind of brown person.
That's right.
For their uses.
Yeah. Interesting. I did not know. I honestly did not know that she was of Indian descent.
I think it will be a beautiful thing, you know, when Nikki Haley is president, because I would vote for her in a hot second. She'll be first female president and first female person of color president, and she'll be a Republican. It'll be great.
Well, you know, she's been, you know, she's got the chops for it. You know, she was she was in the state House.
Did you see her in the UN? She was fierce.
She was the governor of South Carolina for a long time, like 6 years, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly 6 years.
And then she was ambassador to the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. She could do it.
Huh. She's literally just young enough to be my younger sister.
Kinky.
And has been married as long as I have. Interesting. Very interesting.
She and her husband had an Indian wedding.
Did they have an elephant?
That's actually...
You know, I don't know if they had an elephant or not, but...
Oh, man.
You can Google it. Yeah, they had like a whole Indian wedding thing.
I've always been jealous of the Indian weddings because they get to have an elephant.
They get an elephant. I know she had a rifle dedicated in her honor from PTRL.
I know. She's cool.
A 308 rifle. Not one of the little ones.
Not a poodle shooter?
No, there's a big...
Oh. I was going to mention, speaking of shooting things.
Uh-oh.
I still haven't been to the range, but I found one I want to go to.
Good.
But I was going to mention in these times of uncertainty, you know, you can still buy bulk ammo online in most states. And if you got some extra money you're sitting around that you want to invest, buying a few thousand rounds of ammo might not be a bad idea. This is not investment advice. I'm not an investment advisor. But just saying, you know, ammo is still cheap, relatively. I don't see it getting any cheaper, but I can see it getting a whole lot more expensive. And if the Democrats have their way, you're not going to be able to order it online either. Because, you know, that's one of the things that I could see the stupid party agreeing with and getting and passing. You know, oh, you have to buy ammo at a FFL or something like that. You can't buy it online anymore. I could totally see them going for that bullshit. We're probably drifting into stuff Jay can't talk about. but his ears are steaming right now.
That's... Lots of things, but I will refrain. But speaking of presidential candidates,
yeah,
we've got a lot to talk about with the candidates, don't we?
Yes, oh, we boy. Do. Oh, Lordy.
As I've seen online, Clotten Eye Joe.
Sorry, that was so funny.
Man. You know, as if there were any more stark, differentiating, contrasting images of how the media would treat any Democrat versus Trump. There's Sharpiegate on one hand, and there is every media except Fox studiously ignoring the fact that he's up on stage looking like he is having a stroke as he talks.
Yep.
Right.
If Trump gave a speech where one of his eyes filled up with blood, they would talk about it. They would still be talking about it now.
And you'd have Democrats in the House having a committee to talk about his impeachment for Eyegate.
For Eyegate, because it is clearly, we've had all these armchair psychologists, or he's clearly mentally unstable. Right. Like, really? From his tweets?
Yeah. Because that whole thing about, you know, psychiatrists not diagnosing people that aren't their actual patients kind of flew out the window really quick with Trump, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That and there's no possible way red flag laws would be exploited or abused.
Oh, yeah, never.
Like I said, you've got Biden up there with his big old exploded eyeball, and they're all like,
I haven't even heard an explanation for it. Like, is he okay now?
They realized they didn't need to. You had Hillary Clinton falling down at events, and they're like, nothing to see here. You got Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is animated by Disney. And they're like, there's
Donald Trump. Man, the animatronic notorious RBG.
She's just kind of like jerking from side to side, singing It's a Small World After All. And people are like, she's mine. Good. Get her in the truck. Quick, get her in the truck.
Oh, man. And then you had
Elizabeth Warren taking likability lessons from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it? Wow.
I'm vapor locked at this. Because, you know, you heard so much of that after the 2016 elections. I don't know how Hillary Clinton lost. She's so likable.
Oh.
How on earth can you be that tone deaf? And then who's you got Bernie Sanders, who is just being Bernie Sanders advocating for, you know, the United States should pay for third world abortions. If Trump had said, we're going to fund third world abortions, it would be, well, first of all, they point out, he supports abortion. And then it would be, he wants to kill brown babies. Trump.
Well, it's all under the guise of, you know, the environment. You know, we need to kill the brown babies in the third world to save the environment.
He's going to be courageous enough to advocate the mass murder of millions of brown people.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump is the one that's Hitler.
Right.
Right.
The only one of the front runners that hasn't absolutely stepped in everything is Harris.
Yeah, but she arrives with shit to burn her. So
yeah. You know. Well, that's not shit, but another fluid. Oh, goodness.
Hurt.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is Beto still thinks he's like in it.
He's a thing.
Yeah. So cute. Well, the whole thing is, it's like, you know, if he drops out, he's got to go back home. So
Right. His wife is probably pretty mad at him at this point. Like, well, he had the road trip like, to find himself.
No, Robert, you stay on the campaign trail. That's fine.
Bless your heart.
Well, as long as he's running a campaign, he can take donations and you know, make money.
Yeah, there it is.
And write there poems. It is. And write his poems too.
Oh yes, his cow poem. What was that? A cow?
Are we going to wait until the end for the dramatic reading of Beto's poem?
I think we should do it right now. Jay, get ready.
Right now?
Yes, warm up.
I have the text. Can one of you?
Okay. Well, let's just preface this. So, I don't know how this poem was found. How did they find this poem?
Because the internet is
full. Oh, it says it was recently excavated from the former Texas congressman's past as a part of of a Reuters investigation published Friday. It was discovered that O'Rourke, who was a member of the hacking group Cult of the Dead Cow, wrote a short story. Okay, so they have like these, like, you know, old "the internet is forever" type of writings.
Right?
Is that what it is?
Yep.
So
yep.
They found this poem, and it is called "The Song of the Cow," and he wrote it at age 16. And Jay, I will give it to you.
All right, I don't have the text.
Oh my gosh. Do I have to do all the work?
Wow, Beto's Song of the Cow. Hold on. I am conversant with... All right. Know your meme. I wonder if...
Pick up the mouse. Sending the link right now. Computer.
Hey, computer.
I sent you the link.
Oh, here we are. Oh, I got it.
Oh, boy. I'm afraid, actually. Go ahead.
Eat a butt shine right now. And, God, I hate fucking pop-ups. I need a butt shine right now. You are holy, oh sacred cow. I thirst for you. Provide milk. Buff my balls. Love the cow. Good fortune for those who do. Love me. Breathe my feet. The cow has risen. Wax my ass. Scrub my balls. The cow has risen. Provide milk. Oh, milky wonder, sing for us once more. Live your life, everlasting joy. Thrust your hooves up my analytic passage. Enjoy my fruits. Provider of cheese and other wonderful dairy products, we will cleanse your inner intestines. We will bathe in your pungent odor. Gather cotton. Count my eyes. Smell my skin. Love the scarecrow and the milkman. I live only for eternity. Thirst for the undrinkable. Hold the heat. Praise the doughboy at the pizza shop. Love the oxen dung. Oh my
God. That's terrible.
I'd rather listen to Vogon poetry.
It's 16.
Oh my God.
I can almost buy it, except I know of no 16-year-old boy that is this fixated on cows.
Or other things?
Or having sex with them.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, is that a thing in Texas?
I mean, I know there's cow tipping, but, you know, this is
just
cow.
The tip. Just the tipping.
Beto wasn't a country boy. He never even saw a cow that wasn't in the grocery store dead. He was from El Paso. There aren't any cows in El Paso.
The West Texas town of El Paso. Did he fall in love with a Mexican girl?
No.
No.
He did not.
No.
He fell in love with a very wealthy white girl.
He fell in love with this reflection in the mirror. Come on. So yeah, this. What else have the other who's still in it? I guess I know Duke Nukem's out.
Well, they say that Elizabeth Warren is neck and neck with Joe Biden.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
So,
right. Okay. You know. Oh, I'm going to Al Jazeera.com because that's
oh no
That's the most recent. Oh, the largest and most diverse. Michael Bennett, U.S. Senator from Colorado.
Nope.
Joe Biden.
Who?
Nobody ever heard of.
Michael Bennett, U.S. Senator from Colorado since 2009.
Nope.
Biden. Bill de Blasio. This is a guy who's unpopular in New York City.
Yeah.
Fake news, Jay.
I think I'm polling higher than Bill de Blasio. Cory Booker.
Nope.
Spartan.
He ain't, nope, he won't do it.
Stephen Bullock.
Nope.
Who?
The Democratic governor of Montana. You know, that electoral powerhouse, Montana.
Yep. I don't even know why they're bothering to have those people on, because they don't have a chance in hell.
Pete Buttigieg.
Nope.
The mayor.
How do you say that?
Buttigieg, Buttigieg, Buttigieg. I don't know.
I don't know. Served as mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah. He's a
zero. That's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
South Bend, Indiana population. I'm curious. 100,000 people.
Ooh.
100,000 people. The city next to the town I grew up in, Haverhill, Mass., has like 70 or 75,000. The fucking mayor of Haverhill is just as qualified to be president of the United States as this clown.
Which means not at all.
Well, he seems nice and he's gay, so.
It's just that he's gay, yes.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Julian Castro, mayor of San Antonio for a whole 5 years. And his brother doxed. Who did he dox?
Oh, yeah. All the people that donated to Trump in his district.
Right.
Yeah, that was nice.
Boy, they're like grandson of Mexican immigrants. That's like calling me the grandson of Italian immigrants.
Yeah, that means nothing.
I am as Italian as he is Mexican.
You're the wrong color brown, Jay.
Well, here's the thing. You know, in July, I'm way darker than this dude. Okay. John Delaney. Congressman from Maryland for 3 terms.
Nope.
I think they're just like, you ever like, you know,
it looks like
a pot of spaghetti and throw it at the wall.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, she
doesn't. That's what's happening here.
First Hindu. I didn't know if she was Hindu. Interesting. Mm.
She's about as Hindu as
we know Kamala Harris
is an Indian.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy Klobuchar is apparently still in. Apparently she hasn't killed any of her staff lately. That's good. That's good. You know, throwing lamps at them. Wayne.
All these people in the debate tonight? Surely not. Jesus.
They're everyone that is a candidate right now.
Oh, my God.
Wayne Messam, mayor of Miramar, Florida.
Oh, my God.
Is this with mayors of small-ish cities?
Yeah, I'm going to. Hey, Jay, I'm going to run for president.
Miramar,
will you Florida. Be my campaign manager?
Yeah. Alan Andrews. They have a population of 122,000. Whoa, look out, Pete.
You know, Alan, with our listenership.
There's Beto.
How many listeners do we get a week or a month or whatever? You could run.
There you go. I'd vote for you, Alan.
I mean, if that's the standard, like, you know, a city of 100,000, like, where are we at, you know?
Tim Ryan, who looks like Al Gore.
Good.
I've never really heard of most of these people.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders. Known for not having a real job, a quote, real job until he was in his 40s.
And even then, it wasn't a real job.
Joe.
People have been saying about Bernie Sanders.
Joe Sestak is, what the hell is his name? William H. Macy.
What?
Look at this dude up. He's William H. Macy. He's the shoveler.
Oh, my God.
Tom Steyer, a billionaire donor and liberal activist.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Okay.
Elizabeth so basically, Warren. Trump's going to win.
Oh, Marianne Williamson, who has also made the news because I didn't realize the Republicans were nicer than the Democrats.
Oh yeah, that
imagine one. That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Yang, who Ted Cruz challenged to a basketball game. I don't know why.
Because he knew he could win.
Yang wants to guarantee all American citizens between the age of 18 and 64 $1,000 check every month. Yeah, because that's not.
What ages?
18 to 64.
64.
Oh.
I mean, at this point, drop the pretense.
What happens if you turn 64? You start getting your $1,000 check? What the hell?
No, you get your Social Security.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but by then that $1,000 check will be more than you get from Social Security.
$1,000
from the age of 16 to 64.
Shut up, Alan. They're buying votes.
You know, it's like nobody has any. Alan, you help me out here. You've studied economics, right?
It doesn't take economics. It just takes the ability to add numbers.
I know. We'll just print more money.
Yeah.
Nothing ever gone wrong doing that.
How many pounds of Venezuela dollars does it take to buy a roll of toilet paper? I'll put it this way. Pieces of you know, Venezuelan dollar bills are cheaper than squares of toilet paper.
Toilet paper, yeah. Okay.
You can literally wipe your ass with money in Venezuela, and it's cheaper than toilet paper.
5, 6.
My favorite one that has come out was Bernie Sanders saying that he was going to cancel all medical debt. That's been my favorite one so far, because you bet your ass I will be running out to get the most expensive leg. Maybe two. Maybe a running leg. Oh, no. Maybe three. Maybe four.
Yeah. You need
get a leg.
You need a swimming leg and a running leg.
I need a swimming leg, a running leg, a walking leg. I need a leg with a high heel foot, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you need one of those robotic ones that let you feel the ground, too.
I don't want to feel the ground.
Yeah, but, you know.
Well, I mean, if Bernie Sanders paying for it, then, okay.
Yeah.
There are 7 that have dropped out and 20 still currently have papers out. So that means 27 candidates.
There's 3 that have a chance. There's Biden.
Oh, God, Biden.
Biden, Bernie, and Pocahontas. Those are the only 3 that have a chance. I'm sorry, Democrats, but you know that's how it is.
Don't think Bernie has a chance. I really don't.
I think Bernie thinks he has a chance.
Bernie doesn't have enough name recognition. Biden does, although it is mystifying. It is absolutely mystifying because this is a guy who ran in 1988, didn't get the nomination. 2008, mm-hmm. didn't get the nomination. And now in 2020,
if
32 years after his first failed one.
Yeah, but you know what? If Joe Biden is standing and vocal by the time the Democratic primary rolls around, they're going to look at Sanders and they're going to look at Pocahontas and they're going to go, there's no way in hell either one of these can beat Trump. And they're going to go and they're going to turn to Biden.
Biden can't beat Trump either.
Well, but he can't. But what else?
Put him on a stage against Trump in a debate, and there's no way.
What else are the? But you know that doesn't matter. That's not that they don't think that way. What they say doesn't matter. Trump bad, Democrat good.
Mm.
The problem is that the Pocahontas and Sanders are so insane that they're going to turn off the Democrat base. The hardcore, even the unions that are like some of the safest Democrat voters ever are not going to vote for the socialists like that. They're just not. Well, the union government workers will, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of unions, did you y'all saw that thing about the United Auto Workers guy that where they the FBI raids his house and find like wads of cash all over the house?
No.
Yeah.
What a surprise. Yeah. I can't imagine all that why.
Legally Alan, geez.
He was Chief President Gary Jones of the United Automobile Workers. The FBI raided his home in Detroit.
Detroit.
They also raided other UAW places, but they were like just stacks and stacks of money, like piles of it.
What was his name there? Jefferson, there, the rep that had money in his freezer. Oh, yeah,
cold cash, Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, but think about it. How secure in your graft and corruption do you have to be to leave piles of cash laying around your house? Not even putting it in a safe, not even hiding it in some other location, you know, but just laying around your house.
You don't even have to pretend to hide it. Yeah. You know?
Holy shit.
Signs all good.
So, yeah, union. Way to go.
Go unions. They're so necessary in today's day and age.
Well, they are to Democrats.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness, yeah. What other fun do we have?
Well, not fun, but I wanted to bring up 9/11.
Yes.
And I don't talk about it every year, but this year was kind of like an interesting year. Because people who were born on that day became adults.
Yep.
Because it was 18 years ago. So the people... Oops, sorry. The people who were born on 9/11 became adults on that day and have no memory of the event. And I just...
Well, it's ancient history to them.
It's ancient history to them. And... I had an interesting, I worked that day, and I talked to a few of my coworkers, and I talked to one of my employees, and he's 19, almost 20, and his experience of 9/11 is different, obviously. And then I talked to another girl who I work with, and she was 9. And then I talked to another person, and she was... in high school. And so we all talked about like our experiences of 9/11, and it was just an interesting viewpoint, you know, because I have, you know, like this really vivid, horrible memory. And I just wonder how going forward the lack of memory of what Muslim terrorists can do to us, compounded with the fact that the media just kind of is changing the narrative now. Mm-hmm. Like, how will that affect us in the future?
Yes. According to the New York Times, the airplanes flew themselves.
The airplanes took aim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out who thought that was a smart move. Like,
somebody who is really young, yeah. Some copywriter who has no memory of 9/11.
Yeah, and they're steeped in intersectionality, and so they can't say anything bad. They can't say anything bad about the Muslims because, you know, that would be Islamophobic. So we can't say Islamic terrorism, or we can't say terrorists or anything like that. And it obviously wasn't white nationalists that did it. So it had to be the airplanes.
I'm surprised they didn't blame Trump. I'm only half joking.
Well, you know, he was in New York at the time, so you know, it probably was his fault.
It just, you know, it boggles my mind. It's that anyone, and again, having some knowledge of the process, not only did someone write that, someone else as an editor
wrote
and said, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, that it gets the point across without specifically, you know, nobody was like, airplanes took aim. No, rewrite this. This is wrong.
Yeah. I'm sure they're all like just out of college journalism students.
Sure. Of course they are.
From a sheer grammatical standpoint, this is horrifically wrong.
Right.
You know, just the way this sentence is constructed, airplanes took aim. Oh, no, no, they didn't. They are incapable. This is just as impossible as me telling you to go fuck yourself. So,
but you know, this is not the first time. So I read an article and it reminded me. So they were talking about how it was back in the 90s when the press was full on SUV hate. And remember it was like story after story of, you know, SUVs plowing into people or losing control, and you know, the SUV did this and the SUV did that. Yeah. As if the person driving it was just a, you know, innocent passenger.
See, now you could almost get away with that because of the self-driving cars.
Well, especially if it was a Tesla.
Well, they catch fire in the rain, so. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, it's like where everybody's all hot and bothered about, oh, yeah, it's self-driving cars. I'm like, really? Have you seen what happens?
Yeah.
It might be a better option.
Yeah.
Less cars upside down.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
cars fire. On fire, cars upside down. I don't know. That's, you know, and the problem, and speaking of electric cars, there's a couple of things that I think are hilarious by all these virtual signaling assholes that have bought electric cars. You know, completely ignoring the fact that, you know, I personally think electric cars are pretty cool, especially the electric supercars, because, you know, who wouldn't want a car that can go 0 to 100 in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, and then kill you. But anyway, I think, you know, just from the technology, I think they're cool. But, you know, here's the thing. So the government gives all these subsidies, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars of subsidies so people will buy an electric car. And then the states are all like, hey, we're not making money off of that. We got to raise taxes on those electric cars.
Yeah. Yep.
And then
so they're subsidizing it and taxing it at the same time.
And then come to find out that it is almost impossible to sell a used car that's electric.
Really?
Why is that?
Because it has no value at all.
Oh, what?
The used electric car market is almost non-existent because, one, you got to replace the batteries, which is like half the value of the car. Two,
right.
Nobody wants to buy a used car the same reason nobody wants to buy a 3 or 4 year old used computer, because the technology is advancing so quickly that they're like, why would I want to buy the old thing when I can get the new thing and, you know, it's new and it has more features and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you don't get a subsidy. You don't get a subsidy on the used electric car.
That's what I hadn't considered, Alan, is that with the pure electric, like the Leaf and the Tesla and the Bolt and or Volt or whatever the fuck the Chevy is.
Yep.
The battery is a very real thing. See, they said the same thing about like the Prius. But, you know, my brother-in-law has a Prius, and actually his wife has a Camry hybrid.
Right. But they have an engine.
They're both 10 years old, and they haven't had to replace the batteries.
Yeah, because they have an engine.
Because it's not an always on. The biggest reason I would never own an electric car is I own an electric lawnmower. Battery-powered, so it had a rechargeable battery. And no, I'm dead serious.
I have an electric mower too. It runs off a power cord, but I like it.
I wasn't going to do a power cord. I wanted the rechargeable. So yeah. I found a good deal. You know, they had one at Lowe's, and you know, we moved into the house. It's got a small lawn. You know, I had an acre at my last place with a riding mower.
Yeah, you're not doing that with an acre with a battery mower.
No, or even a push mower. Just it's a tiny thing. It has nothing to do with a work thing. It's a 22-inch deck.
You don't have the day to spend mowing the yard.
It was like, you know what? We've got like, I mean, we've got something like a fifth of an acre. It's tiny. I'm like, we'll try the electric one. So bought one. And for the first couple of years, it was great. It's really nice. It's quiet. It had a bagger. It was just, you know, wonderful. Third year, boy, you know, I was getting to the very end of the back, and it was like it really started to die. And by the fourth year, I had to plug it in. I had to do the front yard and the side yards, and then plug it in and do the rest, do the back, and the next day. In 4 years, it had gone from being enough to do my entire lawn with the bagger and still have power left over to it had to be recharged in between.
Well, it's kind of like the battery on your cell phone, you know? I mean, the first year is great. The second year, you're down to like 90%, you know, but it's still okay. Third, fourth year, man, if you still have it by the fourth year, you get like half the time. And the battery power cars are the same way.
And let me ask you a question. Do you know what the replacement cost on a Tesla is for the batteries?
I think I read somewhere it was like $30,000.
Yikes!
Not quite that bad. The Model 3 battery is around $7,000.
Oh, well, what about the fancy Tesla?
Which one? With the Model S,
the Roadster, the one everybody wants.
Roadster is ridiculous. Yeah. The,
That's the one I was thinking of. The S is cheaper all the way around.
Well, S, what about the Model E? It's the same, between $5,000 to $7,500.
Yeah, but still, who wants to spend that much to...
And that's exactly it. 8 years, okay. Replacement cost, it's a Tesla Form. Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, here, Tesla Roadster. This is the one I was thinking of. The Tesla Roadster battery replacement's $30,000.
Yeah.
So,
Most are covered under warranty. Oh, interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah.
2015. 2015 needs to be replaced. 90,000 miles. That's actually it's really high miles. My car is a 2015, and it has 44,000 miles on it.
Yeah, but you know, your car, if you take care of it and replace, you know, don't use shitty gas, replace the oil regularly, keep it clean, keep it maintained, it'll go for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually the plan.
The electric car, it doesn't matter how well you maintain it.
But it doesn't have a tailpipe on, and it's good for Mother Earth. Forget about the giant bank of lithium-ion batteries that are literally strip-mined by child slave labor in China.
Yeah, exactly. And the pollution and everything else, and yeah.
My favorite is, you know, the smug stickers about this car uses no fossil fuels. Like, really? Because you got plastic on it. Guess where that comes from?
Yeah.
Chuck.
How did that car get to the dealership where you bought it? Did they carry it in a wagon pulled by a horse? No, they did not. It came on a train, and then it came on a truck.
Speaking of that little girl, Greta.
That poor victim of child abuse.
She is still in the country.
Really?
And I'm wondering, how is she going to get home?
She's going to fly. Are you kidding?
Well, okay.
Because the crew that sailed her to the U.S. flew back home. The crew that's going to sail the boat back to Europe somewhere flew to the U.S. You don't think she's actually going to sail into her boat all the way back? And by the way, she didn't sail that boat. The adults did. She was just there.
Of course. She's a child.
Maybe she will, though.
No, she won't.
Maybe they'll send the yacht back, and then, of course, that crew will fly back.
No, because there is no propaganda profit in having her sail back to Europe, because nobody gives a shit in Europe.
Because she's Swedish?
I don't know. Who knows?
But yeah, it's like this horrible, grotesque stunt. And, you know, it's comical. It's comical that we're the ones to sit back and point out that the emperor has no clothes, that you're gushing about this wonderful environmentalist.
Right.
And no, like, excuse me, exactly how much energy are you wasting with this stunt? Has anybody calculated it?
Well, the story now with this girl, Greta Thunberg, the story now is that the right is mocking her because she's autistic.
No.
Did you know she's autistic?
No. That never came up. Who says she's autistic? That was never.
She is autistic.
That was never mentioned anywhere at any time.
We're mocking her for something. I don't know. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Trump's a racist, whatever.
It's the ableist thing. It's like, you know, everything. So now, like, everything is racist, right? So now they're moving on to ableism. Everything is ableist. Like, you're making fun of the handicapped girl.
So if the poor
autistic, she can say anything because she's autistic.
No, but she can't because.
Well.
These thoughts were placed in her head by her parents, who are attention-seeking whores.
Well, it's also like, oh, she's autistic. So she's like this, you know, savant. Like, she's special.
No,
you know, they're saying. You know, Greta Thunberg is saying autism is her superpower. So now she's like, it's like the noble savage thing, right? That they have with the liberals have with, you know, people of color. They have this noble savage thing. Like if you're black and you say something, you know, halfway profound, you're suddenly like this prophet because you're black.
Joe Biden saying Obama was
right.
Was.
Yes.
You know.
Clean and well spoken.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so now you have
like it was a surprise.
Like, my God, he's articulate and bright and clean and
holy crap, that black guy can talk. Wow. Come here, look at this guy talking. Do you see that? Oh my God, these people are awful.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah.
You got the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking
clean.
Guy. That's a storybook.
Yeah,
because them darkies are so dirty. I mean, that's what he's saying.
Yep. That's exactly what he's saying.
Yes.
Now, I mean, to be this was, you know, this was early in Biden's career. It was 2007.
Okay. Yeah,
because the previous 40 years didn't matter.
Right. Right. You know, that was so long ago. Now listen to this horrible misogynist thing Trump said in 2005.
Right.
Right.
That matters. Biden complimenting Barack Obama on being clean. Like, wow.
And now he's the front runner.
You know, but you know, Biden had a lot of things, a lot of nice things to say about the, you know, the former Grand Dragon Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, too.
Oh, yeah. Robert Byrd.
Yeah. He had all kinds of nice things to say about Robert Byrd.
He was the conscience of the Senate, Alan. Come on.
I thought that was Kennedy. Or no, Kennedy was the lion of the Senate.
The lion, yes.
Yeah, they spelled it L-Y.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
speaking of lion liars. This just came in on the wire. Federal prosecutors have recommended seeking criminal charges against Andrew McCabe.
Oh.
Currently a talking head on CNN.
Really?
Interesting.
Yep. They have.
I don't feel bad for not knowing who Andrew McCabe is.
Andrew McCabe is the former director of the FBI.
McCabe.
Andrew McCabe.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm blaming phones.
Yeah.
Or perhaps
the Skype sucks. So.
Yeah. Interesting. But, so. You know, yeah, this, there was, you know, he's a Russian pawn. Collusion. We'll just say it.
Well, they're talking about releasing the FISA court. Transcript. I don't know what you call it. The thing they use to try to get the wiretaps on the Trump administration and You know,
yeah.
You know, they keep doing this thing where it's like, you know, okay, here's the thing, Republicans. You know how the Democrats spent the last 2 years with every single thing was going to cause the imminent impeachment of Donald Trump?
Yes.
None of these people are going to go to jail.
Right.
They're just not. The state protects its own.
Yep.
None of these guys, Comey's not going to jail, McCabe not going to jail, none of these people are going to jail.
Yep.
The only person that went to jail in all of this hung himself.
Yeah, right.
So.
Speaking.
And that investigation is turning into a big swept under the rug, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's... Speaking of undercover people who aren't really undercover.
I know where you're going.
We saw that Valerie Plame is running for Congress.
Yes, she is.
And
the first words out of her mouth on her campaign ad are, as a former undercover operative for the CIA, you know, lie.
Appearing in this commercial with a Camaro in the background and a shirt that's three sizes too small stretched across her tits. It's like, oh, bitch, please.
Yeah. Former the desk operative of the CIA.
Undercover. That word you keep using. It does not mean what you think it means. Yeah. You are the Merriam-Webster definition of covert, okay? Oh my gosh, it's may you live in interesting times indeed.
Oh, it's only going to get weirder. You know what's funny is in all this week of stuff, we barely scraped the ice off the very tippy top of the iceberg. We didn't even get into like the really crazy shit.
Yep.
Like the fact that some firemen's union or something like that wants to reopen the investigation into 9/11 because they're certain that explosives were planted in the building to bring it down.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just.
Are they still saying the fire can't melt steel?
Yes, they're still saying the fire can't melt steel.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it's funny. I was, you know, and I just want to dwell on the 9/11 thing just for a few more minutes because I feel like it. And I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit. You know, we've suffered. Since, you know, for the past 18 years, we've suffered with the TSA.
Mm.
And, you know, that was one of the, that and Homeland Security were the two biggest mistakes George Bush made. You know, besides, you know, trying to go do something in Afghanistan. But still, because 109 minutes after that hijacking started, we no longer needed anything like the TSA.
Right. Right.
Because 109 minutes after the hijacking started, there was never going to be another successful hijacking of an American airliner taking off from an American city ever again. It just wasn't going to happen. And it's never happened. And it's not because of the TSA. You see what happens. You see the videos all the time of anybody that starts acting hinky on a plane now. They get dogpiled. They get dogpiled and they get strapped up with belts and left to sit there until the plane lands. And it doesn't matter if they're benign and just crazy or they're actually trying to do something. Nobody gives them a chance.
The one good thing they did was armoring the cockpit door and leaving it closed and locked.
Right. And, mm-hmm. and change the rule about opening the you know, the rule prior to 9/11, the rule was do whatever the hijacker says.
Right.
Right?
That was the rule. That was literally a one-trick pony.
Right.
Exactly that. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you right now, if I'm going to get stabbed or crash into the earth at 500 100 miles an hour, I'll take getting stabbed.
Yeah, sure.
I've been stabbed.
Yeah, big you, deal.
And you know, well, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm pretty sure I could twist someone's head off and shine it down, roll it right down the aisle.
But that's, you know, that's the whole point, though. This whole Homeland Security and the FBI finding these nut jobs and building them up into, you know, some sort of pseudo, you know, terrorist that never actually does anything that they can arrest and parade around, and, you know, the TSA harassing people and taking their shoes off and throwing their water bottles away. None of that shit had to happen, because less than 2 hours after the first hijacking, that was never going to be a problem ever again in the U.S.
And Flight 93 is proof positive of that.
And every time it's happened since then.
They knew what was going to happen. It was like, nope, well, we're going down.
Right.
If we're going down, I'm going to go down beating a terrorist footing.
Yeah. They didn't know where the plane was going to crash, but they knew it was going to hit something.
Yep.
And they were damned if it was going to take anybody out but them.
Like I said, you know, well, fuck, I'm going to kill one of them before I die. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber, you know, all these other idiots that have tried to do something, they never have a chance.
I do wish they'd pulled Richard Reed off that plane in a fucking sponge. one thing now, in all fairness, it was on a European flight. So it was filled with Europeans. So
right. There
were obviously no Texans on that flight.
Right. Well, look at the train. Remember the train in, was it France?
Yeah.
There just happened to be four Americans there, and they kicked terrorists' ass.
With machine guns.
Yeah.
The terrorists have machine guns, and the guy's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. And it was the Americans that did it, and the Europeans were sitting around going, oh, my God.
Alan, if I'm not mistaken, at least one of them was a Marine.
I think so. But that's beside the point.
So he was already armed.
So anyway.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they got like the was it the Legion of Honor? What's the French?
Oh yeah, they got all kinds of awards for that.
And rightfully so, and should never, ever, ever have to pay for a beer again.
That's right. But, you know, we've been in Afghanistan for all this time. You know, there are soldiers in Afghanistan now that are like second generation in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Their dads were over there, and now they're over there. And, you know.
Well, I will counter that with, and we're also still in Germany.
Well, yeah, of course we are. We're in France, and we're in England, and we're in all these other places that, you know, but, you know, it's like, it's Afghanistan. It's where empires go to die. You know,
nobody.
It's like,
nobody.
It's like
British the Russians couldn't do it.
No, the Alexander the Great couldn't do it. Nobody's ever been able to do it, you know?
Why don't we just build a wall around it?
Or just drop a few nukes also, there and call
there's
it done.
Nothing there.
There's opium poppies there. That's what's there.
Oh, whatever. Oh.
Agent Orange. It sticks to kids.
It's a $4 billion a year industry in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's pretty much the politics of Afghanistan. The politics of Afghanistan revolve around the poppy crop and who controls it.
Great.
And right now they're using. They're using the U.S. as muscle to take out their, you know, economic enemies in the poppy wars in Afghanistan. So they got some guy that's got in with the American military there, and they go, and then he comes in and he goes, oh yeah, these guys over here in this valley, yeah, they're a bunch of terrorists. You should go kill them. Really, what they are is competitors in the poppy business.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
I'll wind that up.
Conflicts.
Yep. But, you know, at least, you know, we're just wasting taxpayer money over there. We're really, I mean, it's not like Vietnam where we've got, you know, 70,000, 80,000 people dying and who knows how many people getting, you know, thousands of people injured, and there's no draftees, so they're not, you know, they're not sending poor black people over there to die, you know, against their will. So it's just, you know, it's just, you know, Americans that want to join the military of their own free will. And as far as the Democrats are concerned, those people can go die anyway. So who cares?
Well, because Republicans, so.
Right.
That's why they try so hard to discredit their vote, too.
Yep.
They'll fight the illegal aliens the right to vote, but.
Oh, yeah.
It comes to our military? No, no, you can just.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, because if illegal aliens voted Republicans, there'd be like barbed wire mines and machine gun towers every 20 feet along the southern border.
Pelosi would have already steered government funds to her husband's business to build the wall.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Well, guys, I got to go.
Yep,
I have to. Time. I'm having a road trip tomorrow.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Where are you going? Tell everyone.
Yes. I am going to Southern Ohio. I'm going to Southern Ohio with my mom on a road trip cross something off my bucket list. And that something is the pawpaw fruit. Pawpaw fruit. Yeah, it's a fruit native to the United States. And it's kind of like... it's largest edible fruit native to North America.
Huh.
And it's kind of one of those fruits that is so delicate and the ripeness period is so brief that they can't farm it really. They can't ship it. So basically it's like out in the woods and people forage for the pawpaws. And I'm like kind of weird about like exotic fruits. I just, you know, want to taste the weird fruit. So pawpaw fruit is native to the United States. It grows in Ohio. And so I Googled it and it turns out there is a pawpaw festival in September in Ohio. And so it's always been like a thing on my bucket list. Being a foodie, that I wanted to try a pawpaw. So I asked my mom this year, I said, do you want to go? And so we're going on a road trip.
Awesome.
To go try the pawpaw fruit. And the pawpaw fruit was George Washington's very favorite fruit. So it's kind of like a historical thing also. And I'll report back next week. I don't know how it tastes. People say it tastes kind of like a tropical fruit, like banana, pineapple, that sort of thing. So we'll see.
Very cool.
That should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. So they make all sorts of stuff with pawpaw. Like they make beer and they make ice cream and you can use it as like an ingredient and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
It's interesting that it's a native North American fruit, but it's not commercialized in any way. I mean, obviously it's because it can't.
Well, I mean, they just can't. Issues. Yeah, the logistics of the pawpaw is complicated. Right. And it's like a magical thing that sometimes people find out in the woods. But also, here's the thing I found out about a pawpaw fruit is that, you know, those weird flowers out in the, like, you know, in the tropics where they bloom and they smell like rotten meat.
Yes.
The pawpaw also smells like rotten meat. That's how they attract pollinators. So their flowers smell like rotten meat.
Huh.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. So flower. Like the corpse flower. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Smells so bad and tastes so good. What's that other fruit that's in like Malaysia that's like that?
The durian.
The durian, yeah. That's just so awful. They won't even let you take it on trains and stuff because it smells so bad.
No. Yeah. The durian, yeah, I've heard that it kind of smells like dirty feet, garbage can, diaper, you know, really just bad. But apparently, and onions, I guess people say when they eat it, it tastes kind of like an onion custard. Ugh. Not my thing. I'm not really interested in the durian, but pawpaw, I'm there.
Well, you can report on it next week.
I will.
Awesome.
Road tripping with the mom.
Yeah, I have audiobooks.
Hope you're driving.
Just, I am driving. Yes.
You have your monkey nut?
I do. Yes. Just in case.
Awesome. Just in case it cuts you off.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. All right. Unless we're not.
Okay.
Tales of the Pawpaw.
That's right.
Yes.
That's like a, that should be like a title of a, like a book or something.
Tales. There you go.
My memoirs, Tales of the Pawpaw.
There you go. All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.